Hey everybody, it is August 30 for our first Tech Corner broadcast. I'll give you a little bit of background. This is Carolyn Betts, and I'm general counsel for Solari, and I have a relatively limited understanding, at least I think I have a good understanding of tech issues for someone my age. But when I was in Micro Center this week, the young gentleman said that I was better off than his mother was. My first thought was, well, at least he didn't compare me to his grandmother. But my idea in during our Ask Catherine journey was that it would be really helpful for our subscribers to have a source of information on tech questions, technology questions having to do with phones and computers and email and that sort of thing, that they could get answers about from people who are concerned about privacy and surveillance and that sort of thing. Because my experience is that when I talk to tech people at places like Micro Center, they're in a different world in terms of wariness about surveillance and Mr. Global and all of that. So my idea was that we could get answers from members of our team about questions that we wouldn't necessarily be able to get answers to from other sources. And so I invited James, who is one of our tech guys at Solari, to join me on Tech Corner. And if you have questions, you can submit them to the way Ask Catherine questions are submitted under the category Tech Corner. And we cover those on the week in which we don't broadcast the regular Ask Catherine, which is at the end of the month, but I'm not quite sure exactly how the cutoff dates work. James, you want to say hello to our subscribers?
Hi, everybody.
Okay. And I have a number of questions that I made up. The idea behind Tech Corner is that it's not a long recording the way Ask Catherine is. Catherine's idea was that it would be 15 minutes. And I think at least this one will probably be longer than that, but it's supposed to be a relatively brief thing. And I also commend to your attention, which I will put in the script, the frequently asked questions, FAQ, that we post. And there's this category called cybersecurity, and you can always go there. And we are repeating some of that here because not everybody goes to that. But if you're interested in going into what our recommendations are and some explanations, search for FAQ on the search engine. And I am hoping that we will be able to, we're working on a new search engine on the site, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to go eventually into Ask Catherine and search for things on Ask Catherine too. But that's a different process, and we're working on other things first, so it's not something that will be immediate. So let's go into our first question, and I have a little bit of background, and James and I have discussed this before, because this was my question, and it is, how do I turn off the Wi-Fi on my router? And the reason I want to do this is I want to be able to connect my computer through the Ethernet cord, which is the one that looks like a big telephone, the old telephone inserts that you would put into the wall. It looks like a big one like that. And there is a spot on routers for the connection of an Ethernet cord. And I wanted to be able, I have fiber optic system, and I wanted to be able to connect my computer wirefully so that I don't have Wi-Fi EMF rays in my house. And James, why don't you tell us how you tried your discussion with your carrier, and you can mention the name of it if you like, about this issue, and then I'll tell about my experience.
Well, first off, you should run your Wi-Fi only when absolutely necessary, because a Wi-Fi router, if you go up and you look, if you turn your Wi-Fi on, and what will happen is you'll see a list of Wi-Fi routers that are in the range of your Wi-Fi router, which means that's another vulnerability to your computer. The other thing it does is that it sucks up not only Wi-Fi packets, but also Bluetooth packets, like your neighbor's Ring camera, anything. It can be a dumb Bluetooth device. It can be your car's entertainment center. Alexa, that too. It just sucks it all up and spits it out to the internet. So it's a method of data harvesting. So I turn mine on rarely. Now, typically what you'll do is there is a IP address for your Wi-Fi router that you will put into your browser. It'll start with 10.0 something or 192.168, because those two are reserved for what's called a Class B or local use. And then once you put that in, you'll get a login page. And after you put your credentials in, the interface is typically different for every brand of router. In fact, I recently got a high-speed fiber connection, and I got into my Wi-Fi router, and I couldn't find where to turn off my Wi-Fi. And I was rather, miffed about this, because I'm supposed to be an expert. So I had to call my ISP, and I said, look, I want to kill my Wi-Fi. And this is what my reply was. Why do you want to turn off your Wi-Fi? Literally. So I asked, can I turn off my Wi-Fi? And they said, yes. So look, it's a privacy issue. Okay, I want to turn off. I had to pull teeth, but they finally directed me through the menu where to find it. But I actually had to go to my ISP and call the tech support people to find out where it was. Then I selected the option to turn it off. I then had to insert a code to verify that it was me. So it was had to put a code in to verify that I wanted it off and turned it off. And then, but what I did was I went ahead and checked my Wi-Fi connection on my computer and my phone to make sure it was turned off. Okay. And it was. On occasion, I have found that my Wi-Fi has magically turned itself on, and as well as my Bluetooth. And I could swear I never touched those settings. I'm not saying that I didn't turn them on, but I was very shocked to find that that was the case. And I will regularly check my laptop and my phone to make sure that my Wi-Fi and my Bluetooth options are turned off. Because again, your phone, anything with Wi-Fi, anything with Bluetooth is literally trying to data harvest you 24/7.
Period. Right. Well, this is so helpful. And let me tell you what my experience is. First of all, I went to T-Mobile because I have a T-Mobile carrier for my phone, and they offered internet service. And it just didn't get through to me that I would be using cellular access rather than wired access. And when I discovered that fact, I decided to go back to wired access. And I went to my local carrier. We have two options. One is Spectrum, and one is what's called AltaFiber, which used to be Cincinnati Bell. And the Cincinnati Bell service, the AltaFiber, is fiber optics. And I understand that fiber optics are superior to the other option. Is that right, James?
Yes. In fact, it's so fast, there's no planned replacement for it.
Okay. But Spectrum is not fiber optics. It's something else. What would that be?
It would have to be some sort of wired connection.
Okay. Cable?
Yes. It'd be a copper medium versus a fiber optic medium.
Okay. So then I decided I wanted to turn. So then I had the AltaFiber fiber optic service, and I decided I wanted to turn off Wi-Fi. And I asked for help from one of the other tech guys, and he actually went on the internet. Well, I called my internet service provider, AltaFiber, and I said, how do I turn off the Wi-Fi? And they said, you can't. You have to get another router. And I bought another router, which is one of the ones in our notes see has serious security flaws. I bought an Asus, but we have a list here: Aris, Asus, AVM, Edimax, D-Link, Linksys, Netgear, Synology, and TP-Link, which from what I can tell, based on what I've seen at Micro Center, is most of the ones that are available. But at any rate, I didn't succeed in getting my ASUS set up, couldn't figure out. I thought there would be a button to turn on and off Wi-Fi, and there wasn't. So I went back to the tower that's provided by my internet service provider and told my tech guy what brand it was. And he pulled off the user instruction manual from the internet, and he was going to walk me through how to do this. The problem is that what he was looking at in the manual was different from what I was getting when I went into that number that James described.
And the IP address.
The IP address, right. And so what I found out is that AltaFiber, my carrier, had deleted from the towers they provide free as part of my service, deleted the option to turn off Wi-Fi. So I'll just tell you all what I'm going to try is putting it in a Faraday bag, because I have a Faraday bag that's big enough for a laptop. So I'm going to try to see whether I can run an Ethernet cord out of the Faraday bag, but see if I have see if I'm still getting a Wi-Fi signal. At any rate, I wanted to turn off the Wi-Fi. So that's my experience, is that you can't trust your ISP look out for your privacy.
The object of their drill is to, from what I can see, get rid of wired connections altogether. That's the trend, because they want to be able to data mine you in your home 24/7. And if anybody that has Ring cameras or Alexas, et cetera, those devices are sucking up every bit of data 24/7. I'm still shocked that people have Alexas in their bedroom, because it's always on. You know, so yeah, think about that. Think about that. And they're clueless. They're clueless of the ramifications. Okay. So that's nuts to me. So yeah, and I find it to be very disturbing, but again, your ISP had to go into that modem and change probably the code that came with it to take out that option. Now, when you do put your Faraday bag over that router, definitely go to your computer or your phone and turn on the Wi-Fi and see if that is gone. If that Wi-Fi works, that node, that router should not be there.
Right, right. Okay,
that's great. Let me know how that works. I'd love to know.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Our second question, and this, most of you probably will know this, but you know, I'm a perfect person for Tech Corner because of how little I know. What's the difference between a search engine and a browser? And which ones do we recommend?
A search engine, well, there's two. Computers have something called input output. And the search engine is the input section of typically your browser. So you type in a link or search term where you want to go, and your browser then has to go out to the internet via search bots, et cetera, and bring those options back to you and present them to you. So that's the output. And typically, we recommend the Firefox browser and the Safari browser, as well as two search engines are Quant and Startpage. Note, both of those are Eurocentric. They're both made in Europe, not in the United States, because Europe has much better privacy laws than the U.S. does. Okay. So in the show notes, we've included a little YouTube video by Naomi Brockwell. Now, Naomi Brockwell is an actress who's gotten into tech, and she does a very thorough technical briefing of a lot of tech issues, and she does it in a very thorough manner. However, she does like Bitcoin, and she does like Brave, which I'm at odds with her about. So anyway, if you want to see information about Quant, you go. We gave the timestamps in the show notes. If you're looking to get Quant and Startpage in your browser in Firefox, you're going to go to your settings in Firefox, and then you'll type in search engines in the little text box at the top. And you're going to take a look at your list. There'll be search shortcuts and there'll be a table with all of them on there. And if you don't see quant or start page, what you're going to do is there's a link below that. Now in Mac, it'll have a link that says find more search engines. And it says something slightly different in Ubuntu. You might have to hit two links before you get to it, but you'll hit that find more search engines button. And then you'll go to Mozilla, which is the author or of Firefox. And you can scroll down and you'll see you look for quant and start page and you click on that option and then it'll prompt you to go to a download page and you just click on that. And then of course, it'll ask you if you want it to be your default browser. So if you're going to toggle between the two, you're going to have to repeat this function to toggle from one to the other if you want it to be the default. That will add it to that list inside your preferences under settings in Firefox, and it's relatively the same thing in Safari, if I remember correctly. But again, I'm doing this from a Mac, and again, we recommend we'll go into OS's, the Mac OS, as well as the Ubuntu OS, and I have an Ubuntu laptop sitting next to me, which I use for spoofing server-side applications, so I can test things between my Mac and Ubuntu.
Okay, I will break in here and explain. Ubuntu is an open source, meaning it's free and it's on the internet, downloadable. And it is an operating system that is
Linux.
It's Linux, as opposed to Microsoft now, or Apple. What I have found in going to Best Buy, trying to get help, is, I've confirmed that Micro Center is the same way, you cannot generally get tech help, at least at the larger offerings of tech help, for operating systems that are not either Apple or Microsoft, i.e. Linux. And they don't support Linux. So, you know, private guys who have corner store to do that sort of thing may know how to help you with Linux. Because we do not use anything Microsoft at Solari. Absolutely nothing. And so I got a Dell computer that is not the one I use for my Solari work, but I use, which is an Apple. But I also have a Dell, and I wanted to be able, I was trained on Microsoft system. I keep forgetting the name. That must be Freudian. I was trained on that. I understood how to use Word, and I use a lot of functions. And it's like, I have to be able to use Word. Well, they have an open source version. You select either LibreOffice or OpenOffice. And those are very, very, very similar to Word. There are little tiny differences, but for the most part, you get the same functionality as the Microsoft Word, but you're on a Linux system, which is much more secure, but you're going to have a harder time getting support. So that's, you know, that's what I have. And so I have Safari and Mozilla Firefox as search engines. And I went in and made the mistake of downloading Brave because I had heard word of mouth that Brave was incredibly secure. And I found out that that was a mistake. And, you know, we have people who call in on our helpline and say, I can't download this or that from the Solari site. And James, you want to tell them what we tell them when they call in and say they have trouble downloading things from our website or other problems? And we ask them which one they're using, and they say browser, and you tell our audience what
well,
you tell
them. Typically we've had people log in and say, well, I can't see that in Brave, or I can't pull this up in an Explorer or something, or Bing. So what we've done is we've realized that Microsoft is not our friend. So if you are blessed of browsers are Firefox and again, Safari. And if you are having problem with email, You need to look at our list. We also have a list for blessed email providers, because AT&T and Reagan.com, and there's one other, we have, we'll provide a list. I'll send you, put a link in the show notes about what email providers we suggest you use, because we've been blocked. They're SBC. So anything under the AT&T umbrella, which there are many affiliates of AT&T, have actually blocked our emails. So you don't want to use any of those. And, but that's it. Yeah, definitely use Firefox, definitely Safari, to avoid trouble with being able to see our content.
Okay, but tell us more about browser, about Brave.
Brave is Google. It is a reworked version of the Google Chrome browser. It has Google at its core, so it is data mining you left, right, and sideways. It does have superior pop-up blocker protection. If you go to a site, let's say you go to a pirate football game, baseball game, sporting event, it will limit the annoying, you know, porn bots that'll pop up on that. It will also protect you from certain viruses and stuff coming through your browser. But again, you might as well be using Google Chrome, because at its core, it's data mining you, as well as they will overwrite a website's ads and put their own ads on. So,
well, yeah, if you're trying to support a site that supports itself with ads, and you go on, let's say,
Brave.
Mm-hmm. With Brave, you're going to be seeing different, I'm assuming you're going to be seeing different ads than the
right.
person
who right. Correct.
The original.
Correct. So they have, in my opinion, predatory practices.
But, you know, they advertise that they're more secure, correct?
Well, yes, security is a point of view thing. They're very secure from their point of view. They're just gobbling up all your data. So it might not be secure on your end, but it's definitely secure on theirs.
Okay. Well, that's helpful. And I think we're going to post there's an article written by someone about Brave that I found really helpful. So I will put that in the search notes. How about DuckDuckGo? That also was, at least originally, supposed to be something that would not save your searches.
Right. If you go to, again, the Naomi Brockwell link I put in the show notes is very helpful. She goes into a very detailed explanation about how DuckDuckGo fell from grace.
Okay. So it was originally had a great idea, and maybe they were bought by somebody else or something.
Right. The problem, I believe, what was it? The price for freedom is the eternal vigilance. It's the same thing on the internet. You have to keep an eye on everything you're using, you know, to make sure that Bill Gates doesn't purchase a large portion of somebody and corrupt them. And unfortunately, that kind of thing happens every day. There are, again, what we use today may not be what we use tomorrow.
Okay. And my final question is, it's very broad and we're not going to go into everything, but can you tell me some of the ways that I can limit data mining from my searches on the internet?
Well, again, what you want to do is use Quant or StartPage. The other thing you do is don't do searches on your phone. I typically don't use Wi-Fi or Bluetooth on most things, on my computers or my phone. But when I have to, I use them in a limited basis. But the phone is not as secure as your computer. Everybody I know, this might be getting slightly far afield, but everybody I've known who has been seriously hacked has been hacked through their phone. I do not put my credit card information on my phone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Your phone, you might as well be leaving your wallet on a park bench with your phone. Now, the iPhone is much better than Android. I still don't trust the iPhone. But again, use a wired system, use Quant or StartPage, and you should be, that will give you the most reasonable expectation of privacy you can get.
Okay, now you and I discussed earlier that sometimes there's a search engine on a website that will be using not the quant or, right. you know, or the start Correct. Page. Can so you explain let's say, what they're doing?
Sure. If you go to let's say you go to xyz.com or, you know, some other web page, you see a search box and you go, wow, I want to search this web page and this web page only. And you type in a search term that you believe is internal to this web page, and it's not. It shoots you out to the, it'll shoot you out to the web, you know, do a web search versus a local search. And typically those will be driven by Google simply because they're partners with Google and they're, again, data mining you.
So if you're on a web page that's recommending something on Amazon, for example, and you click through, that's not a good idea to then go on and put in your information about your credit card to buy something, right?
That's slightly, that's a different shade of gray. Yeah, typically.
I shouldn't have used Amazon as the example, but.
But what I'm saying is be careful of where you get redirected. Sometimes you'll be redirected to a site that's really not that friendly. Okay. So you don't want to, you want to be very wary if you get redirected from one site to another site, because it may be a security problem. So you want to go to, you want to be the master of your destiny by going to sites of your choosing and not someone else's.
Okay,
but you just want to exercise caution.
Okay, but what I was talking about is I go onto a site. Let's say that I go onto a Consumer Reports type site that's rating stoves, well, or something smaller that I would have them send me. And so they have a link to the recommended product. And their link is in Google rather than Quant or whatever I would do if I were putting in the information on Firefox that's been set to go with Start Page or Quant. Right. So I'm on the Google search engine. You told me a little bit earlier that you should not put your banking information into something that you got to by Google. Is that right?
That shouldn't be a problem. But what I will do is that if I get redirected there by Google, I'll go to Firefox or Safari and make the transaction inside of Firefox and Safari, simply because I believe there's an old saying, paranoid survive.
So cut and paste the link. You'd click on it and then go up to the top of the page and do a cut and paste and then open up Firefox
or Safari and or do Safari the transaction. Right. Because I have, right. I totally do my best to avoid doing transactions on Google. Now, if you go directly to Amazon, everybody is forced to go and genuflect to Amazon on occasion, because unfortunately you can only find certain things there. But I would definitely just go directly versus a redirect. And you have to be careful, because sometimes redirected pages look like the page you're on, but they're not. Or looking, they have a lot of counterfeit pages out there, or lookalike pages. And just be, again, it's a good rule of thumb to be careful about where you get redirected from other pages, especially if you're going to make a purchase.
And that's also true when you do a search. I'm assuming it would be on Firefox. I don't think this just comes up with Google. I don't intentionally use Google, but I use Firefox. But when you do a search, there are paid ads
right at the top.
Somehow right. Somebody has paid to be in at the upper end of, mm-hmm. In the beginning of the results that you get. And mm-hmm. So the formal page, the one that the seller of the thing you want to buy is on, the correct one, is not one of the first even five. Sometimes you have to scroll down pretty far to get to the official site mm-hmm. you really want to go to.
Correct. And that's based, what they've done is, everybody's noticed when you do a search on something, you start getting ads for that item.
Right.
All over. And that's just to let you know you're being watched 24/7. So when you sit down at your computer, act like you're in public, not in private.
Right.
Because everything you do is someone is looking at it. Someone is perusing, recording, dropping it into AI. If you're on social media, you're going to start getting friend requests from bots. Believe
Right.
me. If you think someone has sent, you can look at some of the messages. This is an aside. You're getting a friend request from, this canned message from somebody they've made up. So believe you are already being data mined by AI in the background, and they're actually data mine you through bots on social media because they're just obsessed, excuse me, about picking up every scintilla of information about you they can.
Okay, and it goes without saying that if you go to, let's say, for example, Starbucks, which again, I go to a local coffee place, but
Amen.
people are familiar with Starbucks and they've got Wi-Fi and you want to do some work while you're drinking your coffee. First of all, do not ever purchase anything that you need to put in your banking information from that kind of
Environment, no. From a third party Wi-Fi, no, don't. That's a one of the main places people get hacked.
But be careful just generally what you're doing when you're on that public site.
Right. I'm very when I'm at the airport, the only time I typically use public Wi-Fi is when I'm forced to at an airport. And then I'm very, very cautious about being in that environment. We'll go into those kind of threats later in a
Right.
future tech corner, but just caution is definitely the word of the day when you're in a pub on a public Wi-Fi.
And maybe disconnect. I mean, like maybe download your emails and then go off of the
That
internet.
wonderful
This
idea. In
would be.
fact, yeah, wonderful idea. And typically I have Proton Mail as my preferred email app on my phone because it's the most secure. And typically that's a wonderful idea.
Okay, well, we've gone way over our time, but I want to thank you so much, James, and invite people to send in their questions so that we actually have a real question from a subscriber rather than I am technically a subscriber, so I guess I'm allowed to ask questions. But anyway, have a wonderful month before we re-record, and I just encourage everybody to be careful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Carolyn. Bye-bye.